This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What is your abiding memory of the Four Nations face-off after the USA-Canada game last night in Boston? Did anything about it surprise you? Are you satisfied with the result?
Yeah, I don't think anything really surprised me. I mean, if you call yourself satisfied by a result of a game that's played at the highest level by the best players who can play that game, I would say it delivered on all fronts. You know, it's one thing to watch a game and to watch a really good competition. And, you know, it's like you see that at a high school championship level. You got kids that are breaking their tails, doing everything humanly possible to win a game. And you see that at a college championship level. But to see it from the greatest players in their sport takes it to like another extreme. I mean, you know, we were kind of going back and forth. This game was back and forth. We were on our little message thing. This game was going back and forth, but it wasn't wide open. You know what I mean? Like they were each were getting chances, but they were like, there were people in place with every run. That didn't mean there weren't chances. It was just they were playing at such a high level that you were seeing this kind of movement back and forth, but not because they were just letting guys go, right? There's a huge difference when people are at, they are the best at what they do, and to watch it performed at that level, holy cow, was that a great sporting event. Yeah, I'm not disappointed in any way. It would have been fun if America had gotten an overtime goal first and they had chances, but I don't think you can complain when you had so many people playing at such a high level.
I'm surprised how much I personally enjoyed it. I was surprised my family got together on the couch Saturday and watched that game together. Unfortunately, too many moving parts last night, so we did not watch it together as a family. But won't forget the fight on Saturday night. I will not forget that. I will not forget seeing Mike Arruzzioni pump up that crowd. I cannot wait till Mike Arruzzioni is scheduled to join you guys at 9 o'clock today. Satisfied? How could you be satisfied? Even if I had bet it right, which I almost did, but I bet USA, and I actually bet an under that's like almost the breaking news. I never bet an under. I bet under 5.5 pucks and was actually right. Yeah. I had the anytime score. I was right about that. I bet overtime. I was right about that. But I picked USA, USA, USA. Here's the thing. I am now going to look forward to the Olympic hockey tournament. Can't wait. Can't wait for it. I was surprised though, when you, the interesting thing is I talked to a hockey guy. I consider him a hockey guy here at Odyssey Chicago yesterday for the Mitch Rosen celebratory breakfast for 20 years here at the station. And he was like, if Russia was in it, maybe. Like, just kind of wasn't satisfied because Russia was not involved, wasn't on board. And as a sports radio producer, I thank this tournament for being scheduled right when it was.
Yeah, that's a surprising take. Very surprising take. I don't think you're satisfied with the result, but you're certainly satisfied with the level of competition, and it was worth your investment over the last 2 weeks. It was a celebration of hockey, well worth your time. I was surprised how universally appealing it was to so many people in the sports world that don't typically pay attention to hockey. You couldn't help but pay attention to this. This was definitely the best of the sport rising to the occasion. And Team USA fell short, but they lost to a team that got a goal in overtime from the best player in the world. A couple of hockey takeaways. Look, Austin Matthews did not deliver, but he had a great game. I want to be fair and make sure we and people understand that. He didn't deliver the game-winning goal, but he was involved. I think he had 2 assists, and he is, I think, probably the most dangerous player on the ice for Team USA. The Tkachuks are better than I think people knew or realized, especially when they're playing together. Brady Tkachuk was maybe his coming out party a little bit because he plays in relative anonymity.
6'4", 221, David!
Never played in a playoff game, which is remarkable. I also think that you look at Benjamin McDavid, but Mitch Marner, 2 assists again last night. I love watching him play. I would love even watching him play even more in a Blackhawk sweater. He's a free agent. Go get him, Kyle Davidson. This was fun. This was one of those things where you're disappointed that it's over. I'm disappointed that it's over. I wasn't disappointed last night because I wanted to get to bed. But overall, I'm sorry that this tournament ended.
Brady Tkachuk could have climbed the Empire State Building with Fay Wray at the end of that tournament.
Boy, that's a good question.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer. He's here at 8:25, and he'll be on the radio as Cubs baseball is going to be on the air. What was your take on the Cubs' first spring training game versus the Dodgers? Were you impressed by the blowout result? How about Michael Busch being in the center of everything? Got the first Cubs hit of 2025 in the spring season, also with the first run driven in. A ricochet line drive off of Dodgers pitcher Bobby Miller's forehead.
Oh, boy, Bobby hit in the head. Oh, my goodness. That ball goes into foul territory, but a comebacker from Bush hit Bobby Miller.
Ouch. Good thing for Bobby Miller, was able to walk off on his own accord. Did you like the automated balls and strikes?
A lot there. I think the robot umpiring didn't bother me. I thought it was interesting to see the first review or challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Took about 29 seconds, I think. It's okay. They'll get through it. I find it something we'll get used to if they indeed adopt it and implement it next year. That was a scary moment for baseball with Bobby Miller lying there after getting that shot right back at him, 106 miles per hour, bounced off his head, and I can't believe that he walked off. I can't believe that he got up. It was scary. You saw it, and everybody kind of froze. But that was what you remember from the game more than anything. Gage Workman homered. That's a name that we have not mentioned in the Cubs a lot because he's a Rule 5 guy from the Tigers. But Gage Workman did start off spring training first game, opening debut, first impression. Long ball, throw his name into the mix. I don't know. We haven't heard much of him.
Third base.
Pop off the bench.
He's pop off the bench. He plays third base. So, yeah, not necessarily impressed with the outcome. The process is pretty fun right now. It's great to see baseball.
I felt like a little kid yesterday. I busted in the door at like 2:02, ran to the remote, put Marquee on. I'm sorry, not Marquee. Hit MLB Network and hit record. Hit record. I wasn't able to sit with it as much as I had hoped. As I mentioned, I did a couple loads of laundry as we're preparing to go to Davenport, Iowa later.
Braggart.
Braggart.
What?
I don't know. Braggart?
I don't have a washing machine. I mentioned that earlier. Oh. Broke.
Oh.
I love a laundromat.
I thought you said Braggart because you're going to Iowa.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, Davenport, Iowa is nice and everything.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Continue.
Anyway, why wasn't the game on Marquee? Why wasn't the game on Marquee? It was on MLB Network. It's the first game. Isn't that the point of having Marquee is to be able to consume all things Cubs? I mean, today you'll get Cubs baseball with players that you're actually going to know their names on the score today. And it'll also be, I believe, on Marquee. But I just don't understand how the first game is on MLB Network and we got the stinking Dodgers call. It was awful and boring and uninformative. What I did catch was disappointed. I was disappointed in that aspect of it. Like, really? Why is it on MLB Network and not Marquee? Or both, for that matter.
I don't feel like complaining about anything. I'm very excited that the Cubs play the White Sox on Saturday on the Marquee Network. So I've already...
Who's starting?
I've already recorded that one.
Who are the starters?
Well, I'm hoping Noah Schultz.
Oh, I thought Mike Clevenger?
I'm just joking. I don't know.
Mike Clevenger.
Yeah.
Is he still around?
They just signed him.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
They brought him back to minor league deal, by the way.
Let me work that into the update for you.
Please
David.
Do.
Yeah. Don't.
His John guy. Heyman's reporting.
His guy.
Yeah. I got to tell you, the twitchy man is going to pitch on Saturday. He's just always so twitchy. I did watch the game. I made a point. Just because it's the start of the season, I had a bunch of stuff I was trying to get done. So I watched the game, and I know that Workman homered, but another guy homered in like the eighth inning. And I couldn't tell you his name because they never mentioned it on the broadcast. To your point, Dustin.
Do you agree with me?
The Dodgers broadcast, they couldn't keep up with the number of guys. Who hit the home run? Some guy hit a three-run homer. The against Gonzalez, was that the name of the Pirates? The former Pirate who was pitching for the Dodgers? I couldn't keep up with it, but especially because I was using it only as background noise. But it was great. It was great to see some baseball. That was really scary when he ricocheted that line drive off of Bobby Miller's head. And I think if you get a chance to go back and watch it, what was amazing was Michael Bush's reaction. He didn't know if he should run or not. He was like frozen by it. He's kind of walking down the line. I thought he was going to run over and try to help the guy. It was like...
It looked like that.
It was like it went through his head. And then Bobby Miller did walk off. He had a mark. You know how the old, that's going to leave a mark. He had this red, he looked like he had talked trash to Dustin. He had this lump on his forehead that was completely red, and he was walking off the field. I worry about him, man. That was an unbelievable shot to have happen in a kind of a sleepy preseason game where the only guy you recognize is the guy that ricocheted one off his head.
Well, the home run came from Ivan Breathauer.
See? There you go. I gave you the inning because it's easy enough to look up.
And you know what else is easy to do when you're watching a Cub baseball game? Maybe folding some laundry.
Yeah, there you go. Now you're just taunting me.
Oh, the dryer works, so maybe Molly just threw stuff in the dryer to freshen it up.
Surprisingly, that doesn't work.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Yeah, hardly enough, pal. I like my clothes clean.
Are you disappointed that Bulls forward Patrick Williams will be out 2 weeks with PRP treatment on the sore right leg? Will the Bulls be vertically challenged in his absence? What was your takeaway from last night's game?
Yeah, they will be vertically challenged. You know, Patrick Williams being out for 2 weeks, that's not good. Just because you want to see more of him, you want him to get this opportunity, come off the bench and do something if he's not a quality enough of a starter. You know, I'm always fascinated by PRP treatments. It's just kind of an amazing technology. You know, they take your blood and then they run it through that machine. They like spin your blood, and then the platelets can separate, and then you inject blood platelets. So it's what's it called? It's called platelet.
Is this
PRP?
Is this blood spinning?
It's blood spinning.
I thought that was illegal.
No, it's not illegal.
See the Tour de France.
It separates the platelet-rich plasma.
It's an injection directly
into the infected area, affected area. And they're calling this a quadriceps injury, but we saw him bang knees, right? So they injected into his knee effectively.
I mean, I'm all broken up about it. I don't know how I'm going to be able to carry on that Patrick Williams won't be around for 2 weeks.
Don't do that.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry.
Too bad we didn't have a Victor Wembanyama. You'd like to hear my Victor Wembanyama fun, too.
Don't take pleasure in somebody else's
injury. I didn't take pleasure in it. Right. Am I taking pleasure in it?
And you never dance on the grave of a human being.
I'm not dancing on the grave of a human being.
I'm just saying. This is a serious injury, potentially. This is a problem. It's more than just 2 weeks. 2 weeks is... You finish your answer. I'm sorry.
No, it's totally... This is the Mully and Haw show.
I jumped in, and I'm sorry, because
my takeaway from last night's game, though, in all seriousness, I thought of you, Mully. I was listening. I never turned the game on television. I had to leave the hockey game. I had to drive to dance, and I had to listen to the Bulls on the score, which is not a bad thing. Chuck and Bill were very entertaining. Mm-hmm. But I thought of you. Any guess why I thought of you?
No.
The Australian point guard.
Josh Giddey.
He had a really nice night.
Giddey up. Yes.
And as he was doing what he was doing, you saying the Australian point guard was in my head.
Well,
Josh,
really,
that was my takeaway. He had a very nice night.
He needs to have nice nights.
Absolutely.
This is a very,
maybe this is a
this
starting
a very
point.
Important stretch for Josh Giddey, for Matas Buzelis, for Patrick Williams. People that could be featured as you're figuring out who your team is.
The only difference is Giddey's playing for a contract. Matas Buzelis is playing to make sure that you feel confident he's the guy.
Yes.
But he's the guy. Giddey, we'll see. But he had a great night last night. You're right, Dustin. Okay.
And they got to overtime, and we should have mentioned that.
I didn't watch a lot of the Bulls, I'm not going to lie, because I flipped it back and forth, but it just wasn't worth the investment. I was all in on hockey last night. The first hour or so, I paid a little bit of attention. They lost by two. I'm not surprised. I think when you look at Patrick Williams, the only reason I was hesitant, Dustin, in agreeing with you, I understand he has earned every bit of doubt that you have about his development and the stalled development. But this update said basically 2 weeks, and I think they'll reevaluate and we'll get another update. This is not to go full, like, you know, if you want the medical explanation, stay tuned, 10 to 2. You'll get Dan telling you exactly what's going on. But tendonitis versus tendinosis.
Yes.
They made clear in this release that this is tendinosis. This is a chronic, long-term situation. This is not just an owie that needs some time to rest. That's the fear, I think. So when you see that, you've got a guy in year one of a five-year, $90 million contract who now is dealing with a chronic, long-term situation that requires PRP. You don't know where this is headed. Suddenly, there's a lot of uncertainty. Maybe that's an overreaction, but that is the fear. So when you see that coming, you're like, okay, yeah, you got an underachieving player. Now he's going to be dealing with a long-term health crisis? Not good for the Bulls' long-term prognosis.
That's a great question.
Well, we got to go back to this later.
Yeah, you were ready to.
I mean, long-term health crisis? Is his life in danger?
Well, no, but
playing career might be in danger.
Well, that's
what I mean.
Well, just to be just as we're telling me not to be happy and dance, that might be a good thing. Okay,
but a long-term health crisis is an injury. Is an injury to a professional athlete.
No, but what
you want him? You want him on the Bulls?
What you're saying is that you can get money back from the contract.
I didn't say anything about money.
That's right.
He's not available.
What I'm hearing when you say that.
He's under contract. Pay him out. He got hurt playing the game.
We don't have time for this, but Victor Wembanyama was sidelined yesterday because he has deep vein thrombosis in his right shoulder, okay? And that it is a blood clot. And so the way you deal with a blood clot is you take blood-thinning medicine. You can't do that and play professional basketball. It's why who was the third?
Bosch.
That's why he had to retire. But if Victor Wembanyama has this problem, there are guys that have come back after it and they said they were confident. But if he's got blood clots, that could impact his entire career. So someone's career mortality is very, very serious business. That's all.
What was your biggest takeaway from the Bears releasing their coaching staff in full? Is there anything distinguishing about this staff? And what are the strengths and what are the weaknesses?
All right, we got to get through these questions, so I'll make it quick. The Bears released their coaching staff and made me wonder, does the 53-man roster refer to their players or their coaches? Because it's pretty long.
Yeah.
28 names on that list. The most intriguing, as I have said, Anthony Blevins has a PhD. This is a good mix and blend of experience with guys who are former players. I like the way that they approach this, but you stop and think, like, 28 coaches. That's taking a bus to the combine. That's taking a Greyhound bus all the way down to Indianapolis. But, yeah, so far, so good.
So one coach per 2.3 players?
It's a good ratio.
And 10 holdovers? From the Matt
Eberflus
staff.
Okay,
9 or 10. What?
right.
We got to get into that too.
Yeah. I think that it's a really interesting staff. I like looking at the names. I like imagining how they're going to interact. There's a couple of names that just jump off the page to you because of how important their job is. Probably no one more so than Dan Rauscher, the offensive line coach. They just have a lot of work to do on that offensive line. They need a lot of people that understand O-line play and know how to find guys and know how to make the most out of the players that you have. So I think that is the one guy that I think is as important as anyone on the staff.
That's a tough question.
No, they're all tough questions. If Browns running back Nick Chubb indeed is open to the idea of playing for the Bears and rejoining his college teammate DeAndre Swift in the backfield, should the Bears be interested? What should the offseason vision be for that position?
I don't want to be dismissive of Nick Chubb because he was once like a seriously good player. I don't know where he's at physically. He had a knee issue. He came back from it. He didn't come back great. Sometimes 2 years removed from that, you can be a really good player. The idea that he wants to play or has mentioned that he would not reject the idea of playing for the Bears as a good thing. You like having things like that out there. I'm not building my running game around DeAndre Swift, so I don't think I need the friends and family plan with DeAndre Swift. I think that he's a pretty good third down back. I don't think of him as an every down player. I don't want to diss him, but I think you could do better in just in terms of more of a guarantee. There are a lot of good young running backs in this draft. You could probably attack this problem in a couple of ways. I can understand why you just want to pay someone and be done with it. I'm not sure Nick Chubb's the guy.
Well, after hearing Mike Valenti with our afternoon show, co-hosted by Mark Grody the other day with Matt Spiegel, talking about how important the run game is to the Ben Johnson offense,
yep.
The running back room needs to improve. And Nick Chubb would be an improvement to that room at this point. Right. I'm saying at 6:24 on the 21st day of February, if you threw Nick Chubb in there, I know there's other options and there's other paths. But right now, if you got him in, that wouldn't be bad. You know, a thunder and lightning type of thing.
Yeah, because that's the way it worked with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't know if you need to give them a nickname, but they do know each other and they play well together. Nick Chubb is going to be an injury concern, obviously, but given his past, he's also very accomplished as a runner, as a downhill runner, when he is healthy, if he is healthy. So there are worse ideas. I like the, you know, Najee Harris is a guy that if you go out in free agency, that might be better. He's younger and maybe more durable. This is a deep running back class in the draft, but it would remove one thing that you need on your to-do list if you're Ryan Poles. So if Nick Chubb is healthy and motivated, yeah, I think you entertain the possibility because he does give you certainty at a position you need it.
What's the status of the third-round pick, my imaginary third-round pick?
Well, that's tomorrow's question.
Okay.
But there is talk about that the Bears might not get the extra picks from Jacksonville because the guy's no longer the leader in the clubhouse to get that job.
Well, that depends on who you talk to.
Right. Well, what you believe on
social
media.
They had a nice photo of him and Tony Boselli on Twitter.
Did he have his hat on?
Neither guy had a hat on, I don't believe.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
How much did the intensity of the Four Nations tournament make it work, and why can't other sports match that in all-star game situations?
Per what Giannis says, he says, hey, I think what we should do is, let's say, the world take on the American players in the NBA, kind of somewhat sort of what you're doing in the NHL. What do you think?
Well, listen, hockey's a different sport from the NBA. You can't compare the cultures because of the way the game is played. You can step on an NBA floor and go through the emotions. You can't do that in hockey. You can't. Like, the culture of our sport, you have to play it with passion. You have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to leave it on the ice. That's what fans are investing in. So for us, when we charge $1,500 for a ticket to come to fans know what they're getting.
That's PK Subban, and that is exactly right. He is outrageous at times, and he says things that raise an eyebrow, but I don't think he could be more accurate in explaining why this is a different dynamic. Hockey players are just wired differently. They just seem to be. And maybe it's rooted in the fact that, as we alluded to the other day, Austin Matthews, highest paid player in the NHL, $13 million a year. That's a small fortune. That's generational wealth. That's also about what you would pay a fourth starter in Major League Baseball. That's also what you would pay the guy who is your 10th guy in the rotation, maybe, in an NBA team like Patrick Williams.
Patrick Williams makes $5 million more a year than
so
the highest
So consider that
player.
When you have these guys who come to the rink without much of an ego, with always just having the culture where you know the effort is necessary, intensity is next. So that's why you see things like we just enjoyed over the last 10 days. I don't know that you can duplicate it in other sports because I just don't know that it's part of that culture.
More PK Subban, please.
I'll tell you what, I think it's a fascinating question. I think it's a good comment from Subban, but this is the problem. The problem is I've seen the NHL All-Star game when they're not playing in a Four Nations face-off, and that's a terrible All-Star game too, because if you're not playing defense, it's really hard to play hockey. And if you're just letting guys go or you're kind of pushing them, it whenever you have an all-star game that is nothing but a, you know, goodwill show among buds, you're not going to play the conditions of the sport. You know, you want to see some bad football? Have a bunch of guys that aren't going to hit go out on a field. It's terrible. It's not worth watching. And it's the same thing, frankly, with the NHL All-Star Game. That's why this was so fantastic, because it matters when you put a sweater on with your country's name on it. It matters. People they look at themselves differently when they're representing a country instead of part of like a weekend of fun and games with guys you are in a brotherhood with. So I think that that's the case with every all-star game but baseball, because the very sport can kind of be an all-star game, right? It just it fuels itself to these pitching and hitting battles that are about individual achievement.
It's an unfair maybe microcosm, but in the last week you saw the face of the NBA, LeBron James, checking out an hour before an All-Star exhibition in the face of hockey, Connor McDavid burying the game-winning goal in overtime to beat Team USA in an exhibition. So I do think that to me says and speaks to the difference between the two sports.
You know, Sid the Kid is more of the LeBron comparison because of their age. You saw Sid the Kid in front of goal with like an unbelievable opportunity, and Jakin Slavin made a play on that puck that was unbelievable. Yeah. That was a phenomenal defensive effort.
By the way,
slash play. What's his name?
Slavin. Yeah. Yeah. Sidney Crosby also injured.
Yeah, but he looked like he could have scored in that second, only there was an incredible defensive play made. I'm saying the intensity level of a international tournament is about 50 times more than one of these all-star games.
Yep, no doubt.
Anyway, great stuff, really fun stuff last night.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.